T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This podcast is presented by David Lowen Associates in Fort Lauderdale. If you've had a homeowner's insurance claim denied or underpaid, call 844-96-CLAIM.
It's a great song.
It is. Hope it's the real one.
I don't know, because there is a remake.
No weirdo remade it.
Yeah.
There's Bill Withers.
Okay, it's the original. Yeah. You know who I think remade this song? And the Dino.
Dino?
I think it was a dude named Dino.
You have so much useless information inside of you.
It's crazy. But I mean, I may not be right on this one, but that doesn't mean I don't have a ton of useless information in my head.
What about being right? That's not even in your whole personality.
Lovely day, lovely day, lovely day.
Man, why are you wasting up Willie's time? Bring on Willie.
There's two guest lines ringing. Which one's Willie?
Willie's on 11.
All right. We'll head out to the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline, talk with Will Manso, sports director at Local 10. He was at this Derek Jeter town hall meeting. Cherry Bundy Tart Cherry would have been better off sponsoring that. It's the Cherry Bundy Tart Cherry Derek Jeter Town Hall. I wish I was there. Here's Will Manso. Hello, Will.
Give me more Bill Withers. That would cheer up everybody in the crowd.
Yeah, you pump up some Bill Withers, you're good to go.
Oh,
see if Dino. see if Dino did the remake of that song. Check that out, Falero.
I'll stay with Bill Withers.
So you were at this town hall last night for the Marlins, and I followed along on your Twitter timeline, and I was fascinated by it. But like I was saying to Crowder earlier, you can't get nuance. You really can't get what someone's trying to say sometimes via Twitter. To me, without being there, it almost seemed like Derek Jeter, the way that I picture him, is sitting back in a big chair and kind of looking arrogant and almost annoyed that he has to go through something like this. But maybe that's not the way that it was. So I want to feel like I was there, Will. So can you put us there?
Okay. So Jeter is in a chair, sits down overlooking, you know, a couple hundred people. And I thought, guys, that it was a pretty comfortable conversation on his end, because if you guys have seen his Jeter as an owner and what he talks to the media, and then in his 20 years as a player, Derek Jeter is not exactly an overly emotional guy. He's not a guy that has highs and lows when he speaks. He has a very calm demeanor and kind of keeps his tone at a very respectful, even keel level. And he did that. You know, he let fans, hey, look at it this way, Hawk. If somebody says it to you in Crowder, say, hey, you guys suck. Your show's terrible. I can't say, and they go on for this for 3 minutes. It's hard to just stare at someone, tell you you suck and you don't know what you're doing, and then have a calm and thoughtful response. I thought for the most part, Jeter did. You know, I mean, let me tell you, people were ripping in on him and what he's doing, basically calling him clueless. Others got emotional. People were crying. Yeah, it was all that for 2 straight hours. And the way he sat there, I thought, was calm, cool, collected, listening. And, yeah, Derek Jeter's got a little arrogance to him only because he's Derek Jeter. But I didn't sense it in a condescending kind of way, like where Jeffrey Loria would put his nose up in the air that he's better than you. I didn't get that sense at all.
Will, was it a good idea for the Marlins to set this up?
I think so, yeah. You know, and it's funny that one of the new media relations guys from the Marlins, who's actually been great during this process, asked me that afterwards, and I said, look, I appreciate you guys did this. Number one, you did it for the fans. That's more important than the media being there. But having the media be there and be able to witness it and then kind of share the stories, we could kind of be that liaison to tell everybody, okay, how it went. I thought the fans that were there, Jeter was never going to win, guys. He was never going to go in there and they would carry him off, throwing roses and petals at his feet, and he's the savior and everything's great in one night. But I thought to at least show his face and answer some tough questions and show some compassion to what the fans are going through was a good step. And he said it's the first of a lot of steps. He said there will be more town halls. There will be more events like this. He wants to be transparent. And if he's ever going to win this fan base over, number one is they have to win. But number two is he has to be the anti-Loria. He has to have compassion. He has to feel a connection to fans. Or if not, he's never going to win this base.
Will Manso is with us, sports director at Local 10. I know you and I are on opposite sides, just reading your stuff on Twitter. We're on opposite sides of the way the Marlins, Derek Jeter, and Bruce Sherman have handled their handover of the franchise from the Loria administration. In fact, I'm looking, I've been keeping track. Today is day 80 after Loria, okay? Today is day 80. I've been keeping track of a lot of things. Today is day 768 since Mario Chalmers has no longer been on the Heat. Today's day 580 of WQAM being the flagship station for the Dolphins. And
you keep list. I see that.
I have some Rain Man stuff going on in my head. And then today is day 9 after Monster Dongs. Of course,
just move on.
Stanton's been gone for 9 days. Yeah. So yeah. It's been 9 days since Monster Dongs. But I would say this. it's almost hard to fathom that new owners would come in after Jeffrey Loria. And I was saying to Crowder yesterday, I forget what we were talking about, but very rarely do you get universal agreement in sports radio on Twitter, text, and phone calls. Universal agreement on something. But I said, you know, I don't know, it was probably before 80 days or around 80 days. Is there anyone that would make a case for Jeffrey Loria, that they would prefer he remain the owner, that they have positive things to say about his tenure as owner? And it's universal. No one liked him.
No one. Nope.
And there was never any kind of endearing quality. He lacked that. It's almost hard to believe that someone could come in and not be showered with roses as the new owners. They've done an awful job, you'd have to admit, with any kind of charm offensive. It's been more of an arrogance offensive.
I think he has been too much in the background, and I think Jeter finally figured that out. That's why they had last night. You know, and I agree with you. I'm actually, on this case, not talking from a baseball rebuild perspective, guys. Jeter needed to be out more open, out in the front, more transparent. I think, to me, the biggest mistake he made, and he still kind of made it last night, and I understand why he does it, because he's a prideful guy. His biggest mistake is to sit there and say, we're doing things differently, we're building up the team, but we know we're going to be competitive and can win. You know what? No, you can't. Don't BS the fans. You can't win with a $65, $70 million payroll. That's not the way baseball works. You're not going to be an elite team. You're going to be a team full of a bunch of no-names and prospects and vets to fill out a roster. Be honest with the fans. So, yeah, I think he absolutely could have handled the beginning better. And Jeter did, to his credit, say last night in the media session afterwards, look, I'm learning as I go. I know that I have to get better at this and grow. But the bottom line is my message has never changed from the day that I took over this team. I have told you straight up what I'm doing. I think he just hasn't been at the forefront and been out there transparent. He's trying to change that. But the rebuild has never changed. That was the plan, is the plan, will remain the plan. We will have pain in this town with some losing teams. Even if he doesn't want to say they'll lose, they're going to lose, and they're going to lose bad. And this is part of the plan.
And, Will, it seemed like when Jeter didn't want to answer a question, he said, that's in Mike Hill's. That's it. That's in his bucket. Yeah. He's going to deal with that.
Yeah.
Is Mike Hill, is he setting up his scapegoat, or does he really believe in Mike Hill's ability?
Well, that's probably, from a baseball perspective, Channing, the million-dollar, $10 million, whatever question. Like, what is the deal with Mike Hill? I had a nice talk with Mike afterwards. He was standing there. I said, let me just go take advantage of this and chat with him for 5-10 minutes. And he was very open, on the record, open about everything that happened. And he admits the last regime, you know, they screwed things up, and he was part of it. But a big part of the screw-up was he really didn't have say. In the end, when Jeffrey Loria said, go get me Albert Pujols, go sign the $100 million closure in Kenley Jansen, go get Chen, I don't care what it'll take. That was Loria exerting his power and Hill having to listen. From a baseball perspective, Hill feels that they could do things differently and should have done things differently, and he never had that power. Jeter says he believes in Hill, believes that he knows the roster and the prospects and the people. He certainly believes in Gary Denville, their scouting guy that came from the Yankees, and he believes that they know baseball well enough to really formulate the plan that they want. Now, Marlins fans right now are rolling their eyes and throwing things at the radio and throwing their phone down listening because they can't understand how you can think that given Mike Hill's past. And I agree. I understand why you feel that way. But Jeter believes in Mike Hill. And if things go south fast in the next year or two, he's an easy scapegoat to just
right.
Say, whatever, he was with the old regime. And if things go well, then Mike saves his job. So he knows that. Mike Hill's not an idiot. He knows that. He knows this is a second chance that he probably doesn't even deserve, but that he's getting.
It's a weird messenger, though, too. And I like Mike Hill a lot. I told Crowder, he's been on the show with us a number of times. Mike Hill's treated me like a king at Marlins Park. Really
Very
like
nice
him.
Man.
But it's a strange messenger for things have been run poorly the last decade, and we're going to fix it. The messenger is strange. He's part of the guys that were running it poorly, whether it was his decision or not, ultimately.
Yeah, and the two things to answer that quickly are, number one is, this is a way to say it wasn't Mike Hill, it's Jeffrey Loria, without saying it. One thing that Jeter did not say last night, he didn't say the words Jeffrey Loria. He leaves that for the media and the fans. But in indirect ways, he was saying it was Jeffrey Loria. And in Mike Hill's case, the second part of that is that no one knows the prospects within the system and the current players and what they could do better than Mike Hill, because, let's face it, in the last few years he's brought in a lot of these guys. Whatever it may be, whatever you may think of him, the core of this team, Mike Hill has been around to see it be built. He was part of that and understands what they're worth, what they could do, and who needs to stay, who needs to go, and at what value. And for Jeter to bring in an outsider to reassess the organization is a lot more difficult than just keeping an insider to give him intel on what to do with these guys.
There's been a lot of social media hubbub about Marlins man being at this thing and bogarting the mic for 4 minutes last night. And I've had, you know, from 9 this morning to 11 this morning, I had enough Twitter conversations about Marlins man to question what's wrong in my life that I've got 2 hours to do this in the morning. But also, there's a lot of passionate opinion about Marlins man, whether he's really a fan, whether he's not, whether he's a guy that just wants attention, me, me, me. What transpired with Marlins man last night?
Marlins man was Marlins man last night. He is, Lawrence is a, you know, look, he is a huge ego, self-centered, self-important guy who does a lot of good things and who is truly a diehard Marlins fan. Now, that fandom turns into a lot of self-rah-rah type stuff, like, hey, look at me, I am the Marlins fan, the guy. But to sit there and have any anger toward Marlins fan, like, we all rolled our eyes last night when he got up there and said, do you know who I am? I mean, come on. I mean, seriously. And you know, it made for a funny exchange, and the whole thing about asking Jeter to ride to the Marlins mobile and all that stuff, fine. But the bottom line is this. No one spends more money on that team on tickets than Marlins, man. I think I'm pretty safe in saying that. No one gives the Marlins more publicity than Marlins, man, with his jersey and his talk. And while he can be arrogant, he can be pompous, he can rub people the wrong way, I think his heart, he's in the right place. I think he does love the Marlins. He just loves getting attention for himself from the Marlins. We could separate the two. He's got a huge ego and likes attention, but he also loves the Marlins. So it doesn't bug me at much. And anything, it makes for good radio and TV. You know, I mean, let's face it, you know.
Which is really what anything is about. That's all I look at anything. Yeah. I go, ooh, that's content.
Do you know who I am? I mean, come on.
Yeah, that's not a good. Is that the way he started? Do you know who I am?
Yes. This is exactly what he said. He said, because everyone step up and say, hey, my name is Mark Hochman, my name is Will Mantz, or whatever, and then you start your thing. He went up and said, my name is Lawrence Levy. Do you know who I am?
Yeah, that's.
And Jeter said, yes, I've heard of you. And he goes, good, I don't have to sell you. But this is my favorite part, guys. He says, good, now I don't have to tell you all about myself. And then he spent the next 4.5 minutes telling them all about himself.
Oh, that's called swag where I'm from, Will.
Hey, Will, what can they do? Because you just said it. They said they're going to have more town hall meetings. They're going to try to reach out to the fan base. I think the only thing they can do is go sign some all-stars and win games to make the fans happy. What are they going to do other than on the field that's going to swing this fan base?
Well, they're not going to do that. You know, you're right. I mean, yeah, if they went out and had a $200 million payroll, and, you know, last night, my favorite thing is the whole we're just two pitchers away theory, which is great in theory if those pitchers are Clayton Kershaw and Max Scherzer. But those guys, you're not going to get them. Even if they were available, you're not spending $300 million in contracts for them. So there just aren't anybody out there that they can just go and pluck in and get and spend $80 million for. You don't want another Chen. So what they're trying to do is start more from the game experience, the fan experience, why you should bring your family to the ballpark. We will welcome you. We want to make the experience fun. We don't want to make you feel miserable and like the ownership doesn't care. Instead of starting from a baseball perspective that you'll see from the beginning, they're trying to start from a fan experience. And I can see why, because what do you want to detract away from, right? The worst parts of your organization. And the worst parts of your organization right now are going to be the product on the field. So you can't sit there and sell the product on the field when the product on the field stinks. So they're trying to go at it a different direction so that by the time they catch up on the product on the field and have a good minor league system and roster, there's a general, you know, kind of excitement that the Marlins are doing things the right way and in the community and caring about the fans. It's a risk, guys. It could blow up in their face, and we could all be staring at the same thing 5 years from now saying, what the crap? We just went through all the same thing we've gone through all over again. But it's the way they're doing it. It's not going to change. That's one message you got to take from last night. Derek Jeter is not changing his plan. He set his plan. He's committed to his plan. That plan is not changing. Get used to it. This team is going to strip down to the bottom and try to grow from the bottom to the top, and that's going to take a long time.
Will Manso, sports director, Local 10. Finally, would you have rather been at that last night or up in Boca Raton at the Cherry Bundy Tart Cherry Boca Raton Bowl watching Lane Kiffin have the time of his life? As Sergio Dipp would say, he is having the time of his life.
I saw the highlights after. That was enough for me. I'm happy for Lane. I'm happy for the lovely city of Boca Raton that has Lane for another 10 years or 8 months, whatever comes quicker. And they're going to have him, and it was great. But there's no place in sports I rather would have been than last night. The Marlins should have charged admission, filled up the ballpark, put it on the big screen, put it out on Fox Sports Sun. It would have been the biggest hit on television last night to see that show.
Hey, Will, how would your career have been affected if you went by Willie Manso?
Well, you know, I was Willie, so I was 18, and anybody who calls me Willie, I know you've known me since I was before 18. So my family, my cousins, my sister, my parents, they all call me Willie. Everybody does. So when I was in college, I went to Palm Beach Community College before I went to UM, and the first professor I ever had said, "You want to be on TV?" I said, "Yeah." He's like, "Your name can't be Willie." I said, "What do you mean it can't be Willie? That's my name." He's like, "Yeah, your name can't be Willie." He's like, "From now on, you're Will." This was the first day of community college. And since that day, I've been Will.
Hell no, Willie.
All right.
I wish you'd have stayed with Willie.
Thank you, Willie.
Oh, you guys can call me Willie whenever you want. you're like family. I feel like I've known you guys since before I was 18.
Willie Mancy. Willie Manso. Willie Mancy.
Willie Mancy. Can't change both his names.
I want to change front, first and last name. Willie Mancy. Willie Mancy, Local 11. All right. Will Manso, Local 10. Thank you for making time for us, Will.
Anytime, guys. All right, we'll talk soon.
Always enjoy talking with him. Haven't talked with him in a couple of years because he got in bed with the ticket, but now we're all one happy family, so it doesn't matter anymore.
It's funny to talk about the other station
it's
now.
So
openly.
Weird. Yeah, you cool. You don't have to call on the other station anymore, which is weird.
You see, I'm already stuck with it. Yes.
I know. The other station. There's no other stations anymore.
Dim across the street.
All right, quick break. We'll come right back.
This podcast is presented by David Lowe and Associates in Fort Lauderdale. If you've had a homeowner's insurance claim denied or underpaid, call 844-96-CLAIM.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.